Okay, guys, we are here. Welcome. You know, they say that pineapples are a welcoming fruit. And so I believe I have enough here for everyone to have a piece. So I hope you brought your scissors with you, but you can't leave church to go and find one. Okay. We are in a series on the book of James. And Pastor Don has been dealing with that. And so I'm going to allow him to continue on the book of James. And I'm going to do something different this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And it's going to be on the PowerPoint as well. So, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. And this is what he has to say to them. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And we pray that your Holy Spirit is going to be our guide and our teacher. Open our hearts, open our minds, help us to truly understand what your word is saying to us today, and we shall give you all the praise and all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Be joyful in all circumstances. And many are saying today that, Pastor Zeph, you couldn't be serious about that in all circumstances, maybe in some circumstances, but not in all circumstances. But the Apostle Paul is saying that we should be joyful in all circumstances, and all means all circumstances. Now, what's ironic about this whole passage of Scripture is that Paul was in prison when he wrote these words, and he's telling the church to be joyful. He was behind bars. He was locked down. And we ask ourselves, what is there to have joy about in a situation like that? In jail, locked down, maybe chained. What is there to have joy about? But yet the Apostle Paul is saying to the church and saying to us today that we should have joy. We should be joyful in every situation. Now we ask ourselves, why was Paul so confident in saying that we should be joyful in all situations? He was confident when he said that. And I want to believe that Paul knew his God. Paul had a relationship with God. He was committed. He was dedicated. He was surrender his all to Jesus Christ. And he has experienced him in the past, how that God delivered him. And a situation that he was in now, that God is going to be faithful to him as well. In that situation where he was at. But then we ask ourselves on the reverse side of all of that, why there are some people who have difficulty understanding what Paul is trying to say or what he said in his words. Maybe they don't know their God well enough. Maybe in their dedication and commitment, there are certain areas in their life where they have not surrendered to God and give him their everything. Maybe. And so we must ask ourselves that as we look at our hearts, our lives today, is there something missing in our lives? It could be anything. Maybe there's something in our lives that we are holding back and we're saying, you know what, I can handle this by myself. I don't want to bring God into this. But God wants to be in every part of our lives. And you know, folks, God wants the best for all of us. He wants the best for your family. He wants the best for your church family, your other family and friends. He wants the best for all of us. And that's not going to happen unless we surrender our all to Jesus Christ. Because if we are not totally surrendered to Him, we would not be able to understand why is Paul saying this to the church and why is he saying that to us today. I came across this little snippet, we call it, or snippet, about having a bad day. And so let's look at this in a way of how we can tell that we are going to have a bad day. Your telephone is giving problem, and you went into the store, and they told you that all the computer system is down. You turn on the news, and they are showing an emergency route out of. You arrive at work to see 60 Minutes news team waiting for you in the office. Your birthday cake collapses. The preacher starts his sermon with another bad joke. It seems to me that there are going to be bad days in our lives. Let's take a quick survey and see how this goes. How many of you have had a bad day? How many of you have had a bad day this week? How many of you would say this has been a bad day altogether, a bad week? Bad days are common. But we do not need to allow the bad days to keep us down or to bring discouragement. God is commanding us through the Apostle Paul to be joyful in every circumstances. We are living in some challenging and stressful days. The news said last week that over 75% of Americans are not able to pay their bills. And in light of all of that, when we look at this passage of Scripture, and then Paul is saying that be joyful in all situations. God is not saying that we should have joy because it's better than being sad. He's saying that part of our duty as Christians is to be a people of joy. And folks, there are already many sad people, people with heavy hearts out there. And Paul is saying that if we are a people of joy, that maybe the joy that we have in spite of what we are going through would rub off on some of those people, maybe your friends or neighbors or someone else, because we have that joy inside. So let's look at some pointers of what the Apostle Paul is saying. And first of all, he's saying that we are to have joy in our church services. If we do not have joy in our services, then something is not right. Something is wrong. In Hebrews 2:12, it says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation, church. I will sing your praises. So we are to have joy in our church services. Psalm 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Joy in our worship. Of course, we're going to have to be in church in order to enjoy or experience the joy of worship. And first of all, it's about God. Worship is about God. It is not for ourselves, but we are to remember first and foremost that worship is all about God. We reverence Him. We magnify His name. We honor Him. We praise Him. We lift His name up. But then here is the good part. In all of that, we are being blessed. Our spirits are lifted up. Just like this morning as we sing and you feel good in your heart because of your singing and getting excited. But first and foremost, it is about God. It's not to us. It's not pleasing to us. But we reverence Him. And so in all that, as I said, we are being blessed. It's about singing. Worship is about singing. It's about lifting our voices to God, just like we heard this morning. In Psalm 100 and verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Folks, you be the judgment of that. If your noise that you make is joyful to God, that is the important thing that we need to keep in mind. You don't have to refrain from singing because you think that you are not singing as well as the person next door to you. But you are singing because you want to give Him praise and give Him thanks. You have to be personally involved, because the singing that you do is not for the other person or persons. The singing is for you. That is your expression to God. And whether you're a good singer or a bad singer, your expression is nonetheless than the other person who can sing better than you are. I mean, just think about it. Maybe you can't even pull a tune. But whatever that is, the expression is just as good as the person who has a great voice. If you can say A-E-I-O-U, then that's a good start. Now, if you want to do better than that, I want you to talk to Jamie. Jamie is a music teacher, and she is going to help you to go from that point on. But it's about giving. Worship is about giving. Giving of our time. There are so many people in our congregation who are giving of their time, whether in care groups, Sunday school class, VBS, men's fellowship, ladies' fellowship, whatever that is, many people are donating their time in special events within the church. And we thank you for doing that. And as part of the announcement that you saw this morning, if you would like to be of service in somewhere, then, you know, talk to one of us, talk to Barb, and get involved, give of your time. It's about our talent. God has given us a gift. He has given us a talent. And we need to use that for His glory and for His honor. And then also worship is about giving. Giving of our tithes, of our offering. In Malachi 3:10 it says, "Bring the whole tithes into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it." And folks, I want you to realize that giving is just as worshipful as any other part of the service. When you give to God, you also worship in that way. And I want to challenge and to encourage you to be faithful in that area. It's about listening to God's word when we come every Sunday morning, or even when we read God's word at home. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us, to enlighten our hearts and our minds to be better Christians and better followers of Jesus Christ. Joy in our fellowship. It says that in Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And in my Bible, the word day, the D letter, is upper class. And that means that it's talking about that big day that is coming. The big day that we need to stay faithful unto Him. But let us allow God's word to speak to us. Joy in our fellowship. Joy in our fellowship. And fellowship is extremely important, folks. And when we fellowship together, we encourage each other, we strengthen each other, we get connected to each other, and we need to remember that. How about joy in other people's joy? And you say, well, how does that operate? What does that mean? Joy in other people's joy. In Romans 12:15, it says, we mourn with those who mourn, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And when you learn of someone's success in life, or God is blessing them, something is happening in their life, pick up the telephone, give them a call, send them an email, send them a text. When you see them in church, give them a handshake, a high five, a hug, and tell them that I rejoice with you. I am glad for you. So you rejoice in other people's joy. What does that do for them? You would not imagine how that will be so encouraging and strengthening. But rejoice in other people's joy. Very important. And secondly, we are to have joy in everyday events. Have joy in everyday event, in everyday events. Remember, folks, that you have the power to turn your situation and circumstances around. The circumstances are out there. They're facing you. And before they hit you, so to speak, whether mentally and otherwise, you have the power to stop it. And you can say, I bind that in the name of Jesus. You are not going to come near to me. Like some people say, I saw in a t-shirt, not today, devil. Maybe another day. But have joy in every situation. In Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. How about in the work arena? We need to have joy. You may not have the best of jobs. You may not have your best of supervisors. Makes you angry every day. Get on your case. Whatever it is. But always remember that maybe God has you there for a reason. And in spite of all of that, like the Apostle Paul says, you continue to smile. You continue to say, okay, right, boss. Heaping coals of fire on his head. Or their heads, because you're doing the right thing. Someone said to me a long time ago that I love to go to work. And not because he wants to leave the home and get away from that environment of what's happening, but he loves to go to work because his supervisor is great. He likes his supervisor, fellow employees, all of that. Everybody works together to get the job done. And even then, in the end of the day, there is fun and there is laughter. In the work arena, we need to have joy as well. In the playing field, there are many retirement communities in our area. And there is a lot of playing taking place. Pickleball, racquetball, shuffleboard, tennis, ping pong, golf, softball, different kinds of card games, a lot of stuff happening in the playing field. Some people probably play too much, others don't play enough. But is there joy in the playing field? Is there laughter in the playing field is their fun. Many associates joy with only winning. When they win the game, there is joy. But when they lose the game, there is no joy. But when you lose the game, how do you get mad? Do you walk away? Do you get angry? There is no joy in a situation like that. As a matter of fact, I believe that we ruin our witness when we do that. And we need to be careful. Instead, we can say, it's my pleasure playing with you today. It was a great game. I'm looking forward in playing with you again. But what do you do when you miss the winning play in whatever you're doing? All eyes are upon you. Your teammates are watching over you. And they're saying, he's going to do it, he's going to do it. But what if you miss the winning play? Do you slam the racket down like what you see in the tennis courts today in all the majors? Breaking 2 and 3 rackets in one game? Or are you a good sport to say, I can't believe I missed that shot. You played a better game than I did, but watch out, I'm coming back on the next one. What do you do when you drive the golf ball on the freeway instead of the fairway? Do you wrap the golf club around a nearby oak tree? Do you get mad? You have seen people done that before. Remember that you are a witness for Jesus Christ. How about having joy in the shopping arena? Shopping is an everyday event. Whether in the mall, one of the department stores, wherever you go, Walmart and everything, all those places are testing ground for having joy. Will you be leaving with as much joy as you walk in? What do you do when someone bump you with their shopping cart? Do you get mad? Get angry? I'm sorry, I didn't see you coming. And the other person would say, no, it's not your fault, it's my fault. But we never know. We need to keep the right attitude and Christian spirit. What do you do when you can't find a sales clerk? You need help. You're looking for something, you can't find it. You get frustrated. Some people walk away. What do you do when the line you are standing in is not moving? The cashier line, you're standing there forever. Or maybe somebody jumped the line in front of you. Do you get angry? Do you get mad? Being a Christian is a full-time lifestyle. Everywhere we go, whatever we do, we are representing Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says that we should have joy in every situation. And then Paul says, we are to have joy in trials and tribulations. And this is a tall order, and that's asking a lot. James 1 and verse 2, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind. I don't need to ask if you have ever been through a trial or tribulation. Everyone here has gone through a rough time because life is sometimes unfair. Some of you are going through a tough time even now as I speak. Will you choose to retain your joy? Or is it even possible? But Paul says, all things are possible. When we go through times, rough times, there are so many responses that people can take. We can say probably like they could wallow in their pity. That's not good. Some people blame God. Not a good thing to do. Some try to ignore the situation and hope it's going to go away. That's not going to happen. But the proper thing to do is to trust God with a heart of joy. And I know that that's a tough thing to do, but remember that God promised that He will be with us, that He's still in control, and He will make a way for us to get out of it. Joy in sickness. This is not saying that, God, let me be sick so I can rejoice with you. No, it's not saying that. But even in our sickness, I can still have joy. I can still have a positive attitude. I can still have a smile on my face, even in my sickness and whatever I'm going through. Many people suffer today with heart problem and kidney problem, thyroid, diabetic, high blood pressure, the big one, cancer. And we ask, how can we have joy? But one thing we need to remember, that whatever the sickness is, cannot take away what Jesus Christ has done for us in our hearts. It can never take away. And that's the important thing. Joy in pain. Folks, I don't understand why God does not heal everyone and just take away the pain. But Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove the thorn of flesh from him. But that did not happen. But God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And always remember that His grace is sufficient. I'd like to share with you 2 Corinthians 4:8-10. And this should be, and this is the Apostle Paul writing. And this is probably why he says that, count it all joy. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus may always be revealed in our body. And then also in 2 Corinthians, I want you to, it's a little bit of lengthy passage, but this gives us an idea of what the Apostle Paul is talking about his pain and what he went through. It says in verse 23, are the servants of Christ, and I'm out of a mind to talk like this. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequent, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea. And in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled. I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst. I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the presence of my concern for the churches. Folks, can you imagine that? With all that I just read, he says, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led in sin and I do not feel inward burn? And all of that, Paul is saying, have joy in my pain. Joy in sorrow. I know, folks, that death is not an easy thing for friends and families to handle. Death is something that always brings grief and pain. But joy is not always laughter. It's not always jumping for joy. Joy and sorrow does not mean that we never shed a tear. It never means that we do not have any pain. But it does mean that in all of that, there is a deep, settled peace in our hearts, in our lives, knowing that your God is still in control, that He will carry you through. Joy in Christ, as we conclude. This is the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And folks, this is very important. I believe that this is the crux of the whole situation that the Apostle Paul is talking about. That when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, when we have committed our all to Him, then we will be able to say when He says, count it all joy when He fall into all of these situations. And my prayer and trust is that if there is anyone in our midst that does not know or have this relationship with Jesus Christ, that they would find a place, a quiet place, even just now, to open their hearts and let Him come in. Joy in all circumstances. As we pray, and you are searching your own heart, and you are wondering, how come did Paul get through with all of this? What about this guy? What did he have that maybe I don't have? And folks, if there is anything that's holding you back, you bring it to God just now and pray and trust Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we have spent together. We thank You for Your word. And we pray in a very special way that You would continue to teach us, to encourage us through Your word, to help us to fully understand what the Apostle Paul is saying to us today. And we can have that joy. We can have the happiness, the peace of mind that He's talking about. All because You are number one in our hearts and lives, and we are sold out to You. In Jesus' name, amen.